Praise God. Another good morning that we have to listen to God's word. And indeed, it's a blessing, it's an honor. We do not take it for granted. We thank God for the grace of a new day, a new morning, and that we can eat of his bread. And, you know, yesterday we started looking at this aspect of the authority of a believer. And we, you know, it's very important for us as Christians to understand the authority that God has given us, because authority is already conferred power. Authority is delegated power. Authority is transfer of power. You know, like in an office, when you are on leave and you have delegated your authority to someone else, it is actually illegal for you to issue a command or to even write an email. I know people do, but at that point, if any document is to be signed and you signed it when you are on leave, then it is illegal. Eh? That's why at times when people are on leave, they are told, you stay on leave, continue staying on leave. Eh? Let the person who is on ground do the work. Eh? And if we understand this principle, you will understand why Christ looks at us and waits for us to act when we are waiting for him to act. Now, the difference where he eventually asks is, he answers, is in the place of mercy. You see, like, God is so rich in mercy that people can be doing things the wrong way to get to him. And he can be limited. And he's limited. And he's limited. And he's like, please activate something. I want to come. but the time you switch to mercy, oh God, have mercy. Then, okay, mercy prevails over judgment. You understand? So there are points where God administers his grace for mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. What does that mean? Like, there are things that we actually deserve God's judgment for. And that is actually the sin. The Bible clearly says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That tells us that in the law, in the writing of the law, it is commanded that if you have sinned, the judgment is death. But God purposed that he shall not just look our sins or count our sins in Christ, count our sins that we've committed, but he has looked at us in the view of Christ. He looks at Christ and he has accepted mercy to show us mercy through what Christ has done. And you see, so Jesus in his death, burial and resurrection, he is able to make peace as man with God. And by that, his making of peace, he now confers on us the righteousness of God. He confers on us the state of righteousness that is able to combat sin, that is able to fight sin. And part of the things that is also cut out in Christ is actually our sinful nature. That when we grow in understanding, and this, you know, we read it maybe just so that, I mean, if you've not followed before, so that we just know where this is coming out. This is in Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I just want us to see where our sinful nature is cut out. Because many times people will go like, no, you know, sinful nature is not yet dealt with. And there's still a sinful nature in us. So this is what we always need to keep fighting and all that. But if you open your Bible and you just look at Colossians chapter 2, And I want us to read from verse 9, we are going to read up to maybe 14. It says that, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Verse 11, "In him you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature." That means that not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done with Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now, it's telling us one thing here, that in Christ, when we are in Christ, what happens is that we receive a spiritual circumcision. Now, what does this spiritual circumcision mean? What was cut out? What was cut out is the sinful nature. Where did this sinful nature come from? This sinful nature came from the sin of Adam. When Adam sinned, all of us who are in Adam, we sinned. And that is why you do not need to teach a child how to steal. You do not need to teach a child. You can find a child has stolen sugar, and the sugar is in the mouth. And when you ask the child, "Have you taken sugar?" the child will say, "No." And yet you can see the sugar in the mouth. And you will wonder, who taught you to lie? Now, this aspect of lying, of a child who has not been taught how to lie, is what is called the sinful nature. And this sinful nature is what condemns us. And some people have argued that the verse that where David says that in sin I was conceived, to represent that, you know, from the point of birth we are born with a sinful nature. Yet there are other scholars who believe that that does not actually, the meaning of that, they will confer the real meaning of that in that David was actually not a real son of his father, in that he must have been of a concubine or born from adultery. And that's why even when his father was told that, "Where are your sons?" he said, "These are the seven." And then he was asked, "Are these all your sons?" And they say, "Oh, there's another one." You know, so it's possible that that could be the interpretation of that. And I don't want to dig into that. But what I'm just trying to say is that we, all of us, have, when we are not in Christ and when we don't have the understanding of what Christ has done for us, we become slaves to our sinful nature. Through Adam, we receive and we have inherited the sinful nature that is the tendency to sin. And that's why when you read Romans, and it's from chapter 7, you see how Paul says there's a struggle within us. I want to do what is right, but I cannot do it. And what I want to do, I do not do. And what I do, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And he says that he finds a law at work in him, within the members of his body, that causes him to sin. And now what was he saying? He was describing that there is a law of sinful nature that operates in every natural man. Every natural man has the law of sinful nature that is at work in him. And that is the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, when you read Romans chapter 8, it says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. That means that two laws are in play. One, which is of the natural man, which is the man who has not known Christ, who has not come to the full comprehension of Christ by faith. Remember, it is by faith. Who has not come to that full understanding will be operating under the law of sin and death. The sinful nature will be in control of their bodies. It will be in control of their minds. It will be in control of their thinking. It will be in control of how they deal with others. Now, sinful nature is actually a controlling force. That's why someone will say, "I just don't know. I could not control it. I don't know what happened. I just realized." And someone will say, "I am a slave. I try to stop." Because people try to stop or to overcome sinful nature by human effort. You will see, find people are fasting, people are torturing themselves, people are, you know, disciplining themselves, people will throw away their computers, will delete all the music, will, you know, will delete the videos, will do everything. But after 3 months, they find themselves in the same trouble. And they say, but how? I thought this thing was, I dealt with it. I went for deliverance. It was dealt with. But then these things still keep reoccurring. And you see, the devil, what the devil does is that he fights with you a war of, someone called it a war of attrition. That means that he can keep hammering you with the same thing, with the same wound, because once he has discovered you have an area of weakness, whether it might be anger, it might be emotional issues, it might be immorality, it might be a weakness, a secret sin that he has discovered there's a stronghold in you that you have given room for him. Because what the enemy looks like, he looks to find something, to place something on you. He looks for an area of your of weakness in your understanding, and that is what he uses to explore. And that is what we are talking about, even from our words. What do we say about ourselves? If you say that you can't be rich, if you give yourself a ceiling, the moment you have said that, you have created a ceiling, and of which the enemy will latch upon and say, by his words, I can limit him to this level. That's why we've kept saying that as a man thinketh, so is he. As even as a man speaketh, so is he. And yesterday we were speaking about the two types of mind. There is your physical mind and there's the mind of your inner man. That is your soul. So the speakings of both of these must say the same. So you cannot say you are healed and yet in your heart you don't believe you are healed. Then you are double-minded and you don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, we keep saying this, that now, if we have read now that in Christ, what happens is a spiritual circumcision. Now, in the natural circumcision, what is cut is the skin, is the flesh from the private part. It's from the place of production. It was a private sign. It was a difficult thing. It was a thing that is ingrained. And likewise, also sinful nature is something that is inside, and at times it might not be revealed, but in time it is revealed. You might not know someone has an angry spirit until it is revealed. And when they are confronted, then you, from their reactions, you will realize, I didn't know this guy can react like this. It will be like the first time you're seeing a reaction and you're wondering, I thought this guy was born again. Then you'll realize that there is a sinful nature. There is a part of man that, unless the person understands and brings it to Christ, he will become a slave to it. Now, what is it we are being told? That in Christ, having been raised, been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God. That means it is an area that you have to apply your faith. What is your faith? Your faith is in what God has said. And what has God said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 11? He says that in him you are also circumcised in the putting off, in the cutting away of your sinful nature, in the cutting away of your carnal nature. If you believe this, then your confession changes. You say, oh no, my flesh was also saved. I know we have been taught a lot of times that it is only the spirit that is saved. We have to conform our minds. We have to tune our minds, which is true. We have to set our minds. And it also says that our flesh cannot be saved. So that way, we give the license to the enemy to use our sinful nature to enslave us. But when why you need to know the word, what is the word that you are using as a basis to state your faith and your claim? You know, this is not just, it's not just positive thinking. Remember, we were talking about the difference between faith and positive confessions. Positive confessions are based on human thinking. They are based on human perception. They say, okay, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy. And it's based on the law of attraction. And that is New Age thinking and teaching. But what you must understand, that New Age uses a lot of biblical principles, because biblical principles work, because they are the word of God. And that's why you'll find some of them will say, I will use your Bible, but I won't believe in your God, and it works for me. And that is why you have so many people calling themselves spiritual or spiritists or spirit practitioners, and yet they say, I'm not a Christian. Why? Because they are taught certain doctrines of men, they are taught certain principles that are based on God's truth, which God cannot turn on his word, and they apply them, and it works for them, but you see, they miss the way. It's like having a form of godliness. That's why the Bible says, be careful of that time. People will have a form of godliness, yet they will deny its power in the last days. Timothy was being warned, last day people will have a form of godliness. That means they will have a form of religion. They will have a form of spirituality that has a form of truth, but is not the full truth in reality. And yes, in the days of ignorance, God winked. When Paul was preaching, he said, in the days of ignorance, God winked at it. God was like, it's okay, these guys don't know. But now he commands all men everywhere to obey him through Jesus Christ. When you're still in ignorance, there are things that God winks at. He just says, okay, this one doesn't know. He shows mercy. But there's a point where God is growing you to maturity, and he expects you to know the authority that you have. You have authority over your sinful nature because your sinful nature was cut out. It does not exist. It is not part of you. In Christ, when you're in Christ, your sinful nature was cut out. It was circumcised with a spiritual circumcision. And I don't think there's someone who is circumcised who can be uncircumcised. I don't know, medically maybe, I don't know. But if you have undergone that, there's a covenant that was done. There's blood that was shed, a cutting away of the flesh. And that is why when those people go for the traditional circumcision, they say that the blood must touch the ground. That means they offer that blood as a sacrifice to the ancestors. And that is why you find certain characteristics run in certain tribes or families, because there's a connection to spirits and to bondages that happen to them in their point of circumcision. And you find there's so much immorality in a society. Why? Because they connected to a covenant. To them, they thought it was just a normal process, but it was a covenant they connected to. Now, I'm not telling you to be in bondage, but for you to know that in Christ, every legality is cut away. Every legality was nailed to the cross. And that is why in verse 14, Colossians chapter 2, it says, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, he took it and nailed it to the cross. So anything, any regulation, any written code, anything that is to hold you, whether it's generational curses, whether it is issues from the family line, whether it is covenants that you made knowingly or unknowingly, that have a hold over you, what Christ did is that he took it away and he nailed it to the cross. So it was crucified. It is crucified. And every power and authority of darkness was disarmed, and it is nailed to the cross. So, and verse 15, it says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When it says having disarmed, what does it mean? That means that in Christ, the enemy is powerless to you. What is a disarmament exercise? For those who live in countries with where civilians like keeping guns, eh? When the government says there's a disarmament exercise, you are told two things. One, either you surrender your weapons are your guns willingly to the nearest police station or to the authorities. Or two, we will come to your house and we will take them. And three, if you want to resist, we are also going to exchange fire for fire. Now, when Jesus went into hell, I don't know how he did it, but basically, it says that he disarmed them. He disarmed the powers and authorities. Who are the powers and authorities? Satan is one of the powers. The demons are one of the powers. The principalities are all the powers. The wicked demons are all the powers. The evil spirits are the powers. The wizards, the sorcerers,
all those guys, when Jesus went, what did he do? He disarmed them. That means if they had guns, they were removed. Whatever weapons they had is like Daniel entering into the den of lions. The guy was walking. Actually, it is a metaphor for us to see. He is walking, he is thrown the whole night into the den of lions. And the lions that are hungry became vegetarians that day. That means as a believer, when you're in Christ, you can be surrounded by lions, by wolves, by sharks, by spiritists, by demons, by wizards, by whatever work of the devil, and you are just there. They are like, but their mouth is glued. They can only look at you and they are like, what can we do to this guy? That's why this guy said, there is no way we can get this guy unless we get something that has to do with the law of his God. You see, when men look for an area to sack you, they look for an area where you're negligent. They look for an email you did not answer. They look for some work you have not done. You do it. You just send. Until they're like, now, the only way we can get this guy, if we look for something that compromises with his faith. And I tell you, when that persecution comes, my brother, you are blessed. You are being promoted to the next level. If you are being persecuted for your faith, you are being promoted to the next level. In fact, consider it pure joy. Now, what happens? In Christ, the devil has no power. He has zero power. There's nothing the devil, there's nothing any demon can do to you if you know your authority. But if you sleep the night saying that, oh God, I'm fearing for the night, now you use it becomes a charm where you say, no, for me to sleep well, I need to have consecrated my night. Let me put that way. Let me say, okay, I need to have prayed in the night, otherwise I will be attacked by demons in the night. Now, when you said that first night you will pray, for sure they will not attack you. But then the night that you don't pray, they are going to attack you. And you'll ask yourself, why? It is because you have formed a stronghold in your mind. That's why, you see, we said spiritual warfare is taking every thought captive. Any thought that is contrary to the will of God and making it obedient to Christ. Spiritual warfare is not just it's not about casting out devils. Of course, those that are possessed by devils, you have to cast them out. And we cast them out. But what I'm trying to say, the real spiritual warfare happens in your mind. That's why you're supposed to be transformed with the renewal of your mind. Now, if your mind is renewed to the knowledge that spiritual nature, sinful nature was circumcised in Christ. It was cut out. Every carnality in you was cut out. That means you have no carnality in you. Then you become empowered in righteousness. Then you can go and cast out devils because you don't see yourself as inadequate. You can go and heal the sick. You can go and raise the dead. You can go and do it because it is by the finished works of Christ. It's not based on the level of your fasting. It's not based on the level of your giving. It's not based on the level of your position as an apostle or a prophet. You as a believer. And I really want us to, that's the authority I wanted us to look at. Mark 16. Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is this gospel we are supposed to preach? The gospel that we are supposed to preach is this, what I'm preaching. God sent his son Jesus Christ in the form of a human man. This man lived a sinless life. And when he died, he paid the price for all the sins of humanity. And anyone who believes in his name becomes a son of God.
receives righteousness, receives holiness, receives the power, receives the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, receives a new life and becomes a new creation, who is after the second Adam, who is after the last Adam, who is after Christ. And Christ has no sinful nature. So when you're a new creation, you know, you're no longer a slave to your sinful nature. Anyone who is a slave to his sinful nature is because he does not know the truth that sinful nature was cut out, and anything that you give the devil a room for, he takes it and he maximizes it. So the day you fail to pray to, for God to cover you, they will attack you, because they say this one has already given us a window that only God covers him when they pray. Now, if you believe that you are covered 24/7, even whether you have prayed or not, you are already clothed in Christ. You are already hidden in Christ. Your life is hidden in God. The devil is disarmed to you. He's the God of the world, the cosmos, the outside world. But to you, he is under your feet. He's not even under your feet. He's disarmed. He's a toothless dog, basically. He is toothless. And that is the reality. He is disarmed. There is no, even over our land, we are coming to even better understanding, even over an area, as long as you are there, they know that this one we cannot touch. Leave him alone. It is us that limit ourselves with our knowledge. It is us that limit ourselves with the limitations we have placed on God of our lives. It is us that limit ourselves with our spiritual maturity and understanding. It is us that limit ourselves with the teachings and the doctrines that we have been taught by men. But God is calling us higher. He's calling us to the liberty. There is a liberty. There is a place where you will get and realize there is a freedom in being the Son of God. But that freedom is not a license for you to live in immorality. It's not a license for you for lawlessness. It's not a license for you to do things that will cause your brothers to stumble. Yes, clothes are not important. I mean, how you dress, I mean, it's not a concern to God. But what does the effect of your dressing cause another brother who Christ has died for to do? Yes, eating of meat or taking of wine, it might not be a sin, but what does that do to your brother and sister who Christ has paid for? When they see you doing that, how do they react? How will they be led in their faith? That is the question. In the liberty, do not use your freedom as a license to sin and to cause your brother. There is a balance to every freedom. With great freedom comes great responsibility. I tell you, when you continue in this faith, you stay righteous. You will not even struggle with sin. The only thing that sin can come, it will now be tempting you from afar, not from within. When the sinful nature is in you, it tempts you from within. It works in the members of your body. But when the sinful nature is cut out, it's now the devil who tempts you from outside now. Now he will now be bringing things for you to see. Through your phone, he'll bring for you things for you to hear through people. He'll bring from you situations. Then it is you now to form a thought, a stronghold for him to enter. The story is told of a monkey. A monkey saw the clouds that were forming. It was so dark. And the monkey said, this storm that is coming, I will not survive. I better kill myself. And the monkey went and hanged itself. And funny enough, it did not rain. So situations can come in a way that you can form a stronghold around your mind that I'm going to die. I won't make it. But look at how Jesus dealt with things. When Lazarus, he was told that Lazarus is sick, what did he say immediately? He said that this sickness shall not end in death, but shall be for the glory of God. From today, learn to speak to everything that comes to every situation. Even you got invited, you say, hallelujah, this is my job. Finally, this is my job. When sickness comes, even if it has come, you say, this sickness shall not end in death. Or you say, okay, you have started, in 3 days, you will be gone. Or you can even say, now, I am healed, now, go. You are not permitted to come. So you see, it is you that controls the realm, that how things influence you. This is spirit and life. Let me stop. Yeah. Father, my brother, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, for that. Just sitting here and reflecting on some of my struggles, my personal struggles. I realized that I think I've been trying to enforce certain works, hoping that that will help redeem me. Then I'm asking myself, how can I let God do this? How can I let God take over? So it's, yes, I would just say I think I will need prayers as I continue dealing with some of these struggles. And I hope that one day I shall be set free from those. And yeah, but thanks for that. And it's a good reminder to know that Christ sins redeemed us from our sins, and we're blessed to have him. As soon as we confess him and resurrect with him in that death, we're made new again, and that is, the old sinful nature is all gone. Yeah, it's, thanks for that.
Good. But, listen to the message again and again. It will sink. There's a place it needs to sink. Huh? Listen to it. Huh? Again, afterwards, listen to it again and again. I believe there's something that will come alive. And also read the word again. Colossians 2, verse 11. Read it even in different versions. Let me give you that to study. And meditate on it. And you will realize that sinful nature in itself even has no power over you. You will get it. Don't worry. Let's pray. And you will realize it's not even prayers you need. It's just you to see it and to believe it in faith. Kala. So that's what I want you to understand. And remember what you talked about, the two minds, your mind and your mind. You have to believe it on those two levels. Eh? Once it will settle, it's done. And you will come and confess later. Don't worry, it's a journey we are walking. and also just another thing I'll share with you later, a link for this year, all the sermons I've preached, I've put them on Spotify. There's a podcast for Spotify, so I've set up a Spotify. So I'll share with you the link later. And then I'll get to a point where I'll stop sharing to... You know, at times you share so much and you feel like you're disturbing people. So anyone who will know will just go online and just get it. And they're all labeled. You can, with the title, you can see what was the topic. You can look at it again. And I think it will give an opportunity for better growth and for better understanding. Yeah, so just I'll share with you the link later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching that you're teaching us about the spirit life, and about the authority that you've given us as believers. And one of the key authorities that you've taught us today from Colossians chapter 2 verse 11 is that we have authority over our sinful nature, and it was cut out from us, it was circumcised, and we are the new creation. Oh God, created in righteousness, created in holiness, and we continue in faith that in Christ all powers of darkness were disarmed, and we have the power to control. We have the power to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And Father, this morning I take every thought that we are still under slaves to sinful nature. I take it captive and I make it obedient to Christ. And I set us and our minds free in Jesus' name. Devil has no power and is defeated. In Christ, we are set free. And in Christ, my brother and my sister and everyone who desires this freedom is set free. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless. Bye-bye.